prayer that Brother Don offered up on our behalf, I would ask that you would continue to pray for us this morning, that the Lord would bless the furtherance of this service. It is my desire as a minister of the gospel that God would use me in some way for whatever amount of time that I have left, and there's no certainty to that, to in some way help his people to see the truth and to understand what this life is really all about. You know, we all have different opinions, but I believe we have the truth of what life is about in the Word of God. So I'd ask that you would continue to pray for me this morning, as I certainly need your prayers. I want to begin by reading a verse out of Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. Very familiar verse. You've heard it a number of times. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. I've heard this passage preached on numerous times. And many of the times that this passage is spoken on, they direct your attention to those old paths as though they're something that we've lost and something that we're not walking in. And I don't believe that's what this text is teaching at all. You know, in the time that this verse was written, those paths had already become old. How old are they now? This was thousands of years ago that this was written. The old path is a path of righteousness in my mind, the path of Jesus Christ. And that began at the first day, that began in the beginning, and it stands good today. Old paths are the paths of righteousness that he leads us in. But what I want to concentrate on this morning is, it says, stand ye in the ways and see. What way are you going in your life? Have you ever thought about that? What way have you taken in your life? Here it says there's numerous ways, doesn't it? It says, stand ye in the ways and see. He says, observe and judge yourself, if you would. Examine yourself and see what way that you're traveling in here in this life. He says, ask for the old path. And where is the good way? Where is the good way? You know, there's a lot of folks think that there's some highway out here in America that lead them to a good time or a good way or a good place. And for a small period of time, they might realize that or they might have that enjoyment. But I believe there's a way in which you and I are to go. Now, we're told in the 12th chapter of Proverbs, or 14th chapter and 12th verse, it says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now, I've heard commentators or read commentators that will tell you that that verse has to do with the non-elect, those who are not children of God, and no matter what ways they have, that they'll end up with eternal death. You might could say it means that and you might not, but I believe that has reverence to the child of God. I believe it really does. There is a way that seemeth right to a man. How often in life do you try to do things according to your ways and not according to the Lord's ways? John 14 and 6, Jesus said, I am the way. You notice there was no multiple choices. There was no list of options. He said, I'm the way. I'm the truth and I'm the life. He says, there are no other ways, but there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, and the end thereof is the ways of death. I believe the word death there means ruined. The word destruction over Matthew chapter 7 means ruined. I believe that when we follow our own ways, it can lead us into ruin in this life. I don't necessarily mean financial ruin. It could do that. But it could ruin your life. The last couple of Sundays, as I've tried to speak on a couple of different topics, one of the focuses I brought forth was, and even last week in forgiveness, was our focus upon Jesus Christ. And I think in America, we are losing our focus upon the Lord of glory. I believe that Christians and God's people have set their sights on many other things and not upon the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not attentive to his word. You know, they say they believe in God, but they don't really believe him, because the word of God and the power of God doesn't seem to be transforming their lives. That tells me that they don't have the faith that the Bible tells us we ought to have to see the changes transpire in our life. But there are many ways that we can take. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, let's change course for just a few moments. I believe the Bible teaches me that life is a journey. Would you agree with that? Life is a journey. Some people might not see it that way. But I believe the Bible teaches us that it is a journey from this earthly existence that you and I have right now, or our loved ones in the past who have went on had, and it's a journey to our eternal home. For the child of God, it's a journey, and it's a short journey, to our eternal home, which is in heaven. You know, no matter how good your life is, at best, it's brief and short. I mean, some of us cannot understand that or perceive it. But I tell you, I just turned 56 years old this year, and some of you are younger than me, and some of you older than me, but if you're like me, you can look back 10 years, 5 years, 20 years, 30 years, sometimes even 40 years, and the things that transpired in your life were like yesterday. And you know, I found that time speeds up as we go. It doesn't slow down. I'm telling you, life is brief, and it's very short. I don't care how much you exercise. I encourage that. I do it. And I do it 3 or 4 times a week. I try to eat better than I used to eat. But regardless of all the efforts you make, there's coming a time that your life will end upon this earth. It's brief and it's very short. James put it like this. He says your life is a vapor. Very short. Vapors disappear in a hurry, do they not? If you're able to see a vapor, it's not going to last long. So the Bible teaches me that we're not to drive our stakes too deep. And we're not to get so caught up in all the distractions of this world, because our time here is very, very brief. This is not our home. Let's notice what Abraham said over in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, or what it tells us about the writer Paul, I believe it is. In verse 8 it says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles, that's tents. He dwelled in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker was God. Abraham knew, and you and I certainly ought to know, that this is not our home. If you live to be 120 years old, your life is nothing but a clack of the fingers. It's gone. It's here today, and it's gone tomorrow. I think that will help us with our journey here upon the earth and the very problems and difficulties we get entwined in if we understand you're not going to be here much longer. Now, I know that may not be encouraging, but I believe the Bible teaches us that because our journey upon this earth is so short-lived, that God intends for you and I to have the richest and the fullest and the most abundant life that we can live. And in doing so, he didn't say, I'll remove all your problems. He didn't say that you won't have difficulties, you won't face death, or any other things that we all have, the challenges that come our way. But I believe he teaches us great lessons in how we're to deal with those situations, and we're not to be overthrown in dismay, you might say, or uprooted to the point that we can't function or that our life goes into ruin. Now, this is a journey, and I believe it's very short. But I believe the Bible teaches us that we have someone to lead us along our way, do we not? And that leader is the Lord Jesus Christ. He leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. David said in the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The question is Jesus Christ truly your shepherd? You know, I want to ask this question sometime to folks. What does Jesus really mean to you? Does Jesus really make a difference in your life? And if he doesn't, do you really believe that he could make a difference in your life? You know, life is all about attitude and how we look at things. But the Lord said that there was nothing too hard for the Lord. There was nothing impossible with God. And through Christ, we could do all things because of his strength, not ours. You know, I believe we need to take a stronger view of the Lord. We need to look at Christ and not lose our focus. I believe that we live in a land today that is continually losing their focus in the Lord Jesus Christ. They have chosen their own way, not the Lord's way. Not the Lord's way. So Abraham knew that this place was not his home. We ought to know that. And as we begin this journey here in this life, as God's children, born again of the Spirit of God, we know that our final destination is not to dwell here on the earth forever, is it? Our final destination is heaven. Our home is in heaven. Heaven is where our true home is at. I believe that the Bible teaches us that, so you won't drive your stakes too deep. You won't let your roots grow too far. You know, maybe that's why God told Abraham to continue to move. You know, sometimes we live so long in a certain place and we become so attached to that place we don't want to leave it. But you know, if you move enough, which I don't like moving, so I'm not encouraging that at all, but you know, if you live somewhere long enough, sometimes you don't want to leave it. There are folks who live upon this earth and they live as though this is going to be their home forever. Children of God. Children of God. But we're sinners. We get off track from time to time. We get distracted and we sometimes lose our way in life, do we not? We lose our way. When we fail to look upon the Lord Jesus Christ, we can lose our way. We can lose our bearings and we can go off to the left. We can go off to the right. You know, when a shepherd took the sheep into the high mountains, into the green meadows, he led them. He didn't follow them. He led them. And as long as those sheep could see the shepherd, they had no fear. They were in a state of comfort because they knew that their shepherd was leading them. You know, they knew that they were out of the way of danger. But sometimes the sheep would get distracted. Have you ever gotten distracted? Is there anything in this world that has distracted you to the point that you've lost sight of the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, the Lord kept moving and somewhere you got left behind and you lost sight and you couldn't see the Lord no more. And maybe you, like one of those sheep, you stumbled in some of that rugged ground. Friends, I believe that life is all about Jesus Christ. When Paul said, I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified, I think that's where we've lost it as a people in this country. We've lost sight of the Lord Jesus Christ. Stand in the ways. There's more than one way to go, or there's more than one way that people took. But Jesus said there is only one way, and that was His way. I am the way. He didn't say I have multiple ways. He said I am the way. I am the truth, and I am the life. So understand. Every one of us at some point in life has probably lost our way or gotten off of the beaten path. I know that I certainly have. There are many ways to go, but the way that we ought to go or that we want to go would be in the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in Matthew chapter 7, in the Sermon on the Mount, verses 13 and 14, you're very familiar with it. The Bible speaks of two ways, the broad way and the narrow way. The broad way and the narrow way. In the broad way, we find that that's a road or a path that is very heavily traveled. Contrary to what numerous people in this world, Christians, teach, that these two paths either determine whether you're going into eternal destruction or into eternal joy in the presence of God. Some teach that this wide gate and this broad way is a path to hell. I don't agree with that. Some preach that the straight gate and the narrow way is a pathway to heaven. But if you understand God's word and you believe in the sovereign work of God and the grace of Almighty God, then there's no way that that could be true because that leaves salvation in your hands, does it not? If you've got to pick the right path and you've got to walk in that path all the days of your life, then salvation is up to you, not up to the Lord. So I discount that theory and that idea altogether. But I tell you, there's a great teaching in there. That broad way is a very heavily traveled way. It's popular. That's where many of God's people travel through the entirety of their life. And that straight and that narrow way is an unpopular way. It's a lonely path. And I believe it is a path of righteousness. Straight means right. You know, in the Psalms 23, David said, He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I believe that that straight and that narrow way is the way of righteousness. Jesus Christ is the Lord, our righteousness. I believe it's for those who strive in their life to be obedient to the teachings of God's word. And that's in every aspect. Follow his teachings. Do the best you can to obey him. And in that path is life. And I believe it's life abundant. Jesus said in John 10:10, I come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. I believe it is in the way of righteousness, in looking unto Jesus, that you're going to find life. I know multitudes of God's people who are eat alive with the troubles of life. They're torn up on the insides. They're troubled in every way. But Jesus said that you're to take his yoke upon you and learn of him. Learn of me. I cannot tell you and I cannot emphasize today the importance of focusing on Jesus Christ every day of your life. Because I believe it is in that narrow way that those folks will find an abundant life. A life that is filled with joy. A life that is filled with peace. Does it mean that you'll never have another trouble or another problem? No. But it means that when you can't walk and get through your troubles, the Lord Jesus Christ will carry you through those troubles. Somehow or other, by the grace of Almighty God, you will look back and you will see that God got you through your troubles. But there is a way that seemeth right to a man. And those ways always lead to ruin. It may not be financial ruin, but your life may be distraught. You may be eternally tore up. You may not can handle the problems of life. You know, Brother Don always encouraged me when I talked to him about his troubles. And believe it or not, he has some troubles. Most people probably don't think he has any troubles. But he has some. But he always says, I put them in the hands of the Lord. And I believe he does because I've been around him enough to know that if you don't put your troubles in the hands of the Lord, then sooner or later we'll find it out, we'll know it, you'll wear it on your face, you'll wear it in your attitude. See, when we decide to go our own way, those ways lead to ruin. Back over in the broad way, which is the popular way, we find there that it leads to destruction or ruin. In Proverbs 21:16, it says, the man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. Now, again, some try to talk about that being the non-elect. But I tell you right now, how many of God's people are wandering out of the way of understanding? Where is true wisdom and understanding in this life? It's in the Lord Jesus Christ, is it not? There is no other place to find true understanding. But many of God's people are wandering out of the way of understanding. You know, God commands us to assemble ourselves together to go to church. But you can't believe, or you can believe, the multitudes of people that don't need that understanding. I guess they're filled with understanding. The way of an abundant life is to obey the commands of God. It is God's intentions that you lived a fulfilled and rich life. And to do that is through obedience. It's doing the best you can to obey the Lord. You know, we're not going to become sinless and perfect, but we ought to strive to walk in his ways. He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. There's nothing hard about the path of obedience, really. It's not that hard. When Jesus says we ought to do something, when Jesus says you ought to forgive somebody, you ought to forgive them. You know, he commands us to forgive. He commands us to go to church. There are many commands there that are not really that difficult. And I believe it's in doing these things that God will bless you with an abundant life. And even though you'll have some downtime, some troubles, when the storms of life come, you'll not lose all your joy. You will not fall into pity parties. You know, some people who go into ruin, they begin to withdraw themselves from people. They really do. They have troubles in life. They withdraw themselves. They're eaten alive because they've chosen a way that's not the Lord's way to handle with the problems of life. And I tell you, there's not a one of us that are not going to have those troubles. If you believe that you're having some problem that somebody else ain't having, you're deceiving yourself and the truth's not in you. Because we all have problems. But I tell you, individuals, according to their closeness with the Lord, I believe, have a whole different attitude when these problems arise. They put them in the hands of the Lord. They lay them at His feet. There are things you and I cannot do anything about. But I tell you, Jesus can help us with that matter. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He says, I am that abundant life. Jesus would not have told you that He wanted your joy to be full. He wanted your peace to be overwhelming if it wasn't possible. But it's in Him that we find peace. It's in Him. You know, we can easily lose sight of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even in death itself, the Lord can carry us through those troubles. You know, David said, although I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. I'm going to tell you, when the Lord's not with you and death comes upon you or someone you love, it can almost take you out. It can. I'm not here to say that the person who has the Lord Jesus Christ with him will not feel any pain, remorse, or mourning. He will. Terrible amount. But I tell you, by the grace of Almighty God, you'll pick up one foot and put one foot in front of the other, and then you'll go on. One day you'll look back and you'll think, the Lord carried me through this difficulty. Life is about Jesus Christ. The journey that you and I are on is so brief and so short. How do we get so caught up in everything there is in this life? We ought to enjoy God's creation and enjoy the blessings that He richly benefits us with day in and day out. But I tell you, it's looking unto Jesus. It's not losing sight of the Lord that we need to continue to remember. The man that wandereth out of the way of understanding. You know, you hope that you get some understanding by reading God's word or coming to the house of the Lord. But you know, I think one of the problems with that broad, wide gate and that broad way, it's a popular way, is it not? It's a popular way. It's the way that many people go because everyone else is going that way. You know, if everyone else is going through the wide gate and the broad way, it must be the right way, mustn't it not? I mean, the majority's doing that. It's a lot easier to follow someone and do what they're doing and think that it must be right. It's the easy way out. But you know, the obedient path of serving the Lord is not hard. Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Because the Lord will help you through those difficulties. He'll help you through those troubles. I want to jump over for just a few minutes to Isaiah chapter 30. I want to read verse 21 and I want to back up for just a minute. He says, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand or when ye turn to the left. You know, every one of us at times in our life are going to turn to the right or to the left, or we're going to get out of the way. And we thank God for drawing us back in a number of ways. But in chapter 30, verse 1, it says, woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. I thought about this, and I began to study this chapter, and I went over to verse 8, and let's notice the wording here. Now go write it before them in a table, and note it in a book, that it may be forever, may be for the time to come forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord. You know, when you read a verse like that, it's hard for you and I to imagine that people in our day and age could be comparable to anything like that. This sounds rough and tough, does it not? But notice what it says here. It says they will not hear the law of the Lord. They don't want to hear God's word. We've got a little bit of that problem, I think, going on in America today. It says, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. The one thing that I've come to understand when reading God's word is the children of Israel got into this condition over and over, and I don't believe that once they were destroyed in AD 70 and things changed, that this doesn't happen to God's people in any way or any form today. I believe that this example is given to us because of the all likelihood that we might fall into the same circumstances. He says, they want to hear smooth things. In other words, don't preach something to me that's convicting. Don't tell me I ought not to be doing this or I ought to be doing that or any other thing. I want to hear smooth things. Tell me that whatever I'm doing is okay. And send me a delusion. Think about what's going on in this country today. You know, and I bring this up, and this is not my sermon about homosexuality and the changes it's made, but I want to make a point about it. I don't go condemn that any more than any other sin. Murder or lying or stealing. There are a lot of Christians that do. But what I do condemn is the fact that we're living in a day where people say that sin is no longer sin. It's okay. God has not changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And no matter what your view is of it, or no matter how much you want to let it slide, it's still a sin in the presence of Almighty God. I'm telling you right now, that's what these people were doing then. Not about that particular sin. They didn't want to hear anything convicting. They didn't want to be told that they were wrong. They wanted to hear smooth things. They wanted a delusion. And I tell you, this is where it even gets more interesting in the day in which you and I live. Notice what it says in verse 11. It says, get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. God has become a hindrance to our lifestyle. He has. I can't do what I want to do and hear about God's word and be told about the things that I ought to do in life. They chose a way that seemeth right to them, and that way, or the end of those ways, are death. Their ruin and their destruction. Just as that wide gate and that broad path that so many of God's children go through, so many of them follow, and it leads to destruction. I believe the Lord intends for you and I to live a fulfilled and a rich life. But we only find that when we continue to keep our eyes focused upon Jesus Christ. When we lose sight of the great shepherd, we begin to stray off. We begin to turn to the right or turn to the left. You know, when we disobey God and when we do not come to the house of the Lord or when we do not forgive our brethren or the many, many commandments and teachings in God's word, are we not rebelling? You know, we've been born of the Spirit of God, but man in his state of nature is rebellious toward God. Unfortunately, we still have that old carnal nature. And at times we still rebel, do we not? I think you see rebellion going on in this country today. And God has become a hindrance to the lifestyle and the ways of many of the people of this country. They've lost sight of the great shepherd. And what really bothers me is I've read articles among those of that declare to be Christians who claim it's all right now. That these sins are not sins and that God accepts all. I mean, I've read it from two different ones in the past week. It just amazes me where we're going and that where the big problem I see is people view sin as no longer sin. And this is not something new. It's happened before in the past. That's where society goes when they lose sight of the Lord. You know, Jesus said that narrow path was not a hard path, that narrow way. It's a way that leads to an abundant life of joy, full and rich, full of joy, full of peace. That's the way that you and I ought to take in life. But as we began this morning, we knew that there were numerous ways that we could take. He said to take the good way, and the good way is the way of Jesus Christ. What way are you taking? When you have troubles in life, when those challenges confront you in life, are you looking to yourself? Are you looking to someone in this world to help you along the way? Jesus said he would lead us along the way. That's what a Christian is to do, is to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. He leads and we follow, do we not? Or we should. Who's leading your life? Are you leading it? Is the world leading it? If you want to be able to handle those trials and difficulties that's sure and certain to come, Do not lose sight of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not get distracted and lose your bearings, because it's then that you'll veer off to the left or the right. And oftentimes, if you're like me, I had a time in my life that I was that way. I got way out there to the right, way off base. You know, the Lord wasn't first and foremost in my life. We're told in Colossians chapter 1 that the Lord Jesus Christ should have preeminence in your life. Does he? Is he first? Is the Lord first in your life? That's the question we need to ask ourselves. He's promised to never leave thee nor forsake thee, that you may boldly say the Lord is your helper. Can you boldly say that today? When trials come your way, when afflictions come up in your life, can you boldly say that the Lord is my helper? There's one verse I want to get as I close there, back over in the Isaiah 30. It talks about the afflictions of life and the troubles that bear down on us. It says, "For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem, thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee," in verse 19. And in 20 he says, "And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thine ears," in verse 21, "shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way." You know, Elijah heard that still small voice. You know, when we're not doing something, a child of God is not doing something in the way that the Lord is having to do it, I believe that he's told in the conscience of his mind it's not the right way. That doesn't mean that we'll turn around and go the right way. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He is the only way. There's not multiple ways. There's not multiple lives. If you want to have an abundant life filled with joy, a rich life, filled with peace, then you got to commune with Jesus Christ every day of your life. You got to give him your burdens and let him carry them, because you can't carry them yourself. You're not strong enough. That's why it said, "I can do all things through Christ which strengthen me." Because you and I, even though sometimes we try to do things our own way. You know, Frank Sinatra made a song very popular that I don't care much for, and when he said, "I did it my way." Many of us do that, whether we believe it or not. We do it our way and not the Lord's way. May God bless us to honor him in all that we do. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the only way, the only truth, and the only life, and that will not change. No matter what the world says, no matter how much things change here, your answer to your problems is in the Lord Jesus Christ and no one else. May God bless you is my prayer this morning. If there be one here that has a desire to have a home in this church, you come forward at this time and the church will assist you. You have a song, Brother Randall? 299. We're going to begin with number 299. After we sing the first verse, if you desire to give the right hand of fellowship, you can come forward at that time. 299.